throw.
It would be nice to have a boat
throw.
It would be nice to have a boat
throw.
It would be nice to have a boat
throw.
It would be nice to have a boat
throw.
It would be nice to have a boat
throw.
It would be nice to have a boat
throw.
It would be nice to have a boat
throw
from your mom.
Sipple the snowflake is one old triggered soul with reading glasses sitting on his nose and takes that really blow. Sipple the snowflake deserves a mouthpiece to the face. He says LeBron's the GOAT and Steph will choke. Then he runs to his safe space.
Hey, we gotta be careful here.
He tells us when we speak. But when 10 games air in a day, he thinks that's too many. Oh, Sipple the snowflake says words like mature. He's a blogger now and an honor too, and also really old.
Ba-da-da-ba-da.
Stephen M. Sipple. Hello, Steve. What's up, man?
You're not going to keep singing after that song. That song's about Brandon Course, by the way.
No, it has not.
Whoa.
No, it has not.
Are you suggesting that we change tradition? Are you suggesting, Mr. Traditionalist, that the Huskers remove the block in from the unit?
This
from
is
the
like
helmets?
This is like destroying Memorial Stadium and building a new fancy stadium.
That is
a smaller stadium. No, I mean, Tibbs is it remains
dead
in my heart, and he did that. It was a creation. It was quite a creation. I still laugh at it. I actually start laughing when I said mature.
Yeah, I mean, come on. We didn't stop playing the Beatles and John Lennon music after Lennon got killed. Why would we stop playing Stibbs' music after Stibbs died?
Yeah, when Mark David Chapman took him out, everything, we still play his songs.
Good name, Mark David Chapman. Good job. Good record.
Good name. Good record.
Once again, why is it that we always assign three names to killers?
I know. It's a great question.
You know, I'm just afraid one day that John Michael Bishop, that's
oh my
how
God.
I'm going to be known.
Who are you murdering?
I don't know.
But... Wow. I can't wait to find out. Sheesh. Maybe it'll be me.
What's your middle name, Josh?
Christian. Joshua Christian.
Peterson.
That sounds like a murderer's name.
Sheesh. I'm going to tell it to my mom. We'll see what she says. She might punch you in the face. By the way, multiple listeners have made the same joke. Katie, Sipple the snowflake being a snowflake. Color me shocked. And Travis writes Sip sounding like a real snowflake. Reply his opening. So many are saying.
Oh, Sip, I'm fine. It's 100% fine.
Okay. All right. Well,
but Bobby says, I agree with Sip. Open has run its course. So there you go. You got one person on your side.
It's funny. I still get a kick out. I do get a kick out of it. I don't. Do I say LeBron's the GOAT? No, I don't. I say Michael Jordan's the GOAT. That's what, see. There's now. I changed on that. I went back to Jordan after I saw Jordan Rules, and I think that song was made before Jordan Rules.
Yeah, this was. I believe the song was in 2015 or 16.
16, because that was when the mouthpiece stuff was happening.
Once again, 2016. All the great things happened in 2016.
8 years
Good
ago.
God. 2016.
Yeah. Doesn't it seem like that was just yesterday, and yet it was eight years ago?
Yeah, that's informative. I always tell people, I mean, it's kind of whipped by, so get ready. Get ready.
Yep.
Think about it. Dylan Raiola was a little 10-year-old snot-nosed fifth grader 8 years ago.
And now he's about to be the starting quarterback for Nebraska.
Exactly.
Doesn't it appear that way?
It definitely appears that way. You wrote about it today. I know it's only a spring game, Sip, but would you be at least a little disappointed if Dylan doesn't show off some of his passing skills on Saturday?
Well, I mean, Yeah, the answer is yes, but I'm not concerned. He'll put on a show. I'm glad they did what they did on Saturday, and that's kind of to ask him to. How did Marcus Satterfield put it today? They asked him to kind of get it going, rev up a little bit. That's one of the few areas I've been sort of. Oh, if I was critiquing him, like from Hawaii, he does, you know, he's pretty much a cool customer, and he can be a little too cool. I mean, my concern was, look, it's going to ramp up. Everything's ramping up now. Intensity, the effort level of the guys across the line. And I wanted to see him be a little more urgent. So I was interested today when Satterfield said they asked him to be a little bit more, show a little more zip, a little more maybe emotion. I think that's I'm glad they did that. And it sounds like he responded really well. See, here's the thing. It's always going to be intangibles that you're asking him to improve because he's got a ton of talent. So you can't really ask him to throw the ball harder and farther. He's got to read defenses really well. He already does that. So there's going to be some fine tuning that goes on like that. Just show more urgency, maybe a little more emotion. You are the leader. And I suppose eventually he could be the program leader, you know.
Sip, I thought you wrote something pretty interesting in your column today about Raiola when you said, am I surprised that it's going well for Raiola, one of the nation's most touted players in the class of 2024? That question is complicated by a history of highly rated prospects who arrived on Nebraska's campus and never lived up to expectations. Some never came close. And I like that because, like, you would read the first part of the sentence and think that it's leading to this punchline of, obviously I'm not surprised. He was the number one rated quarterback. But you brought up what I know a lot of other Husker fans have thought about a lot since he committed to Nebraska, and that is, will he turn into another in a long line of guys who ultimately didn't live up to the hype? How cognizant of that have you been in your approach to him in his early part of his career and, I guess, just this spring in general?
Real cognizant, and not only of just, you know, Dylan Raiola, but just kind of the whole thing. I mean, I think everybody is. I sense that this spring more than I ever have. There's that sort of a hesitancy maybe to go all in. I think it's somewhat reflective in the ticket sales for the spring game are good, but they're not crazy good. You know, it's not going to be 80,000 people like it was when Bill Callahan. Wasn't there 80 when Bill Callahan arrived on the scene? It was full.
No, it was like 61. The
stadium wasn't that big yet.
Yeah, the real big ones, Bo had a couple of real big
Bo
ones.
Bo and Frost.
And Frost's first couple were really huge.
Yeah.
It seems like there's, I mean, I don't mean just individual players. I'm speaking more big picture now that I think we've all, I do. I just sense there's a hesitancy. And it's nothing that Dylan Raiola has. If he had come along, you know, 15 years ago, I think the reaction to Dylan would be different than it is now.
Interesting.
I do. I think that's, I mean, he's, I mean, as far as guys I've seen come through here, he's about as, he's as talented as I've ever seen. He's really ridiculously talented. And I don't mind saying it because I saw him so close. I mean, I got that trip to Hawaii, and it was really informative to watch from the field, you know. I mean, watch practices from the field. He's a freak talent. I mean, so now it's just all, can he put it together? And you never know. Football's full of complications. It is. It's largely defined by complications. So let's just got to see how he maneuvers through all that.
Yeah, you mentioned that Hawaii experience, the Polynesian Bowl experience. Why does that continue to feed your opinion on Dylan and his adjustment to the college game?
Well, like I said, I saw him and I interacted with him. And I interacted with people who interacted with him, I interacted with his father a lot, who I have over the years, but it's a little different when you're there. And then I saw him against excellent competition. It was really strong competition in that game. The defense that he played against had some wicked talented players. I was startled by it when the game actually came by. I was startled a little bit by the speed of the big men. If you look back on the roster of who he played against, he was playing against some highly rated defensive line players, linebackers. And he did, you know, he was not only was he, not only did he fit in very well in that crowd, but so did Carter Nelson. I mean, Nebraska's got some guys on the way there. I mean, they're the kind of guys you need is what I would say. And Dylan, again, he fits all of that. It's just now a lot of it's just intangibles. Can he handle it? Can he handle the Big Ten defenses? And I'm talking mainly about how smart the coordinators are, how smart the coaching is, the pressure, you know, the magnitude of the job he has. It's all that. Now, I don't worry about Dylan, how he's going to handle the position, how he's going to handle the day-to-day. He's a mature kid.
He's from
his dad's got him prepared for this. He's faith-based. He understands football. And here's the thing, the most important thing of all, probably, he loves football. He wants to be an NFL quarterback badly. So he's motivated. Again, just now, but here's the thing. This is where the Martinez conversation comes into play. Adrian was not nearly as good as Dylan, okay? But Adrian was good, and we learned if you don't have guys around the quarterback, it's going to be a hard road. And I always came down on the side of Adrian that put some guys around him, and he's going to look great. But they didn't have him. And he got screwed by Nebraska staff, basically, because they didn't put enough around him. And now, you know, I think he's doing pretty well in that pro league, and he looked better at Kansas State because he had more around him. So let's see. I mean, that's another wild card in this discussion. Is there enough around him? Is there enough up front for Dylan?
Sip, I wonder, just one more, I guess, on him from me, and that's like this idea of a quarterback battle. It seems like the last week is really kind of the first tone shift. I'm going to speak for almost everybody when I say we're all expecting that Dylan was going to be or is going to be the starter, but for the first time since he committed, it seems like now we are, like you just talked about this upcoming season, and you never once had the caveat of if he is the starter, and like has that been a notable shift on your end, or is it just like we just need to maybe stop pretending that it's going to be otherwise?
Oh, that's really perceptive, and it's a good question, and it's a great question for talk radio, because I'm still a little uncomfortable with the whole thing, because Matt Rhule hasn't, there's no noticeable shift in what Matt Rhule has said. There's no noticeable shift in what Marcus Satterfield has said. This is pretty media-driven, including myself. And, you know, it's just kind of driven by Saturday. And now I will say this, I'm very confident in what we reported that came out of that scrimmage Saturday. I'm extremely confident. I mean, he put on a show, okay? So he had a really good scrimmage. So I don't, you know, in the Saturday scrimmage, Josh, the second Saturday scrimmage is usually the big one. Again, Matt Rhule's never said that. You know, it's Sipple saying it. Take it for what it's worth. It's usually that's the most telling one. The first one, as described by Matt Rhule, wasn't even, you know, it wasn't portrayed as a big one. The second one, a little bit more, you know. And then, you know, the spring game's a spring game, and it's going to be more vanilla than last year, according to Rhule himself. So this was a major scrimmage that, come on now, it's 120 plays. They need to see some things from those quarterbacks, plural. And they did. They saw it mainly, and I would say from what I've heard, it was Dylan and Heinrich had a day too. And Satterfield said that today. Satterfield did say that Heinrich Harburg had a really nice day, and the people I've talked to said it's kind of become somewhat evident, at least, that it's Dylan and Heinrich 1 and 2.
Is there any part of you, Sip, and I'm not, I don't want to make it sound like last year at this time, the happy talk was as happy. when in regards to the quarterbacks. But the alarm bells that eventually went off in September regarding Jeff Sims, I mean, there was none of that in the spring. Is there anything that gives you pause that, you know, we could get fooled again?
Yeah, Jeff Sims gives me pause. I mean, because we did get burned bad. It was a little different. Because what you had to be sold then was different. He's a different man. Sims is a different man than he was at Georgia Tech. He takes care of the ball better now. We're emphasizing it because he had turnover/interception issues at Georgia Tech that were pronounced. So it was, no, he's different. No, it's not that. So it's not the same in that regard. But yeah, I mean, it goes back to our original sort of what started off this discussion. That we've been burned, and there is no doubt in my mind. Well, I mean, it's just perception, but I feel it. That there's this halting feeling in the fan base. There's a hesitancy just to go all in on this, all in on Dylan Raiola, all in on Nebraska's definitely going to be better. And I think it's really healthy, by the way, that my perception is we've evolved into this more healthy approach. It's good to be skeptical. There's such thing as healthy skepticism. And I think that even Dylan benefits from it. You know, I don't sense that it's an overwhelming, he feels this overwhelming sort of outpouring from the fan base. I don't think it's there. So he's just been allowed to work. And here's the other thing about Dylan. He'll work. He works. He works like he's the four-string guy. He's trying to climb. That's just his MO. So all of it looks pretty good. But, again, I just kind of take it day by day, and we'll see what it looks like. We'll see what it looks like on Saturday. We'll see what it looks like throughout the summer. And then August is always tough.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that. I think that you are right in terms of the healthy skepticism. You know, John and I always do these poll questions four different times, one right after the year, one after spring ball, one before fall camp, and then one the week of the first game. And every year, no matter who the coach is, what the results were the year, I mean, they've always been missing a bowl game, but there is always an increase in optimism.
Yep.
And there's always a part of me that wonders, is this going to be the year where it changes? And barring an unforeseen injury to someone super vital or important, there will probably be that usual optimism. But you're right. Like, they have a five-star quarterback at quarterback, and we're not – it just doesn't seem like it – like you would have expected it to. I think earlier, Sip, you said 10 to 15 years ago. I think that was spot on.
Yeah, it doesn't feel – we've learned. I mean, I got a strong sense of it. I have to have a strong sense of it as part of my job. I just see it in – you know, social media interaction and just everything, just personal interaction with people, personal interaction with fellow media members. It's different. It's not like I'm always kind of struck by some people who are like, what did Rule say on Saturday? You know, like people Monday, what did Rule say? What did he say? You didn't even know what Rule said. It was like that, you know, 20 years ago for sure, but 15, 10 years ago, I don't think it was like that.
Well, a lot of it's proof of concept. People bought a lot more of what Tom Osborne was saying because Tom never led us the wrong way. You know, if he said, not that he was always given to a lot of hyperbole, especially in the spring, but, you know, I think back to, and this is probably a subject for another day, but, you know, I think back to, I remember what the hype was like for Turner Gill.
Yeah.
I remember what the hype was like for Tommy Frazier. And, you know, and granted,
Collins.
Those were
Thunder Collins.
But I'm thinking just going quarterback to quarterback to quarterback. And because much is placed on that position. And those guys never led anyone astray. I mean, they lived up to the hype. For lack of a better term, but a lot of that was it was almost a self-fulfilling prophecy. Oh, Tom Osborne went to these lengths to beat Barry Switzer out to get Turner Gill. Well, he must be good, and he was.
Sure.
Tommy Frazier, you know, they beat Notre Dame, they beat Clemson to get his services. He must be good. and he was. The problem is we haven't seen any proof of concept from any of these coaches to this point. Matt Rhule, it's still only in his second year. But once that happens and you get that benefit of the doubt, then I think that's why some of the hype for Dylan is a little bit muted versus where it was, you know, with those other two guys.
Yeah, I think you're on to something there. So we just got to kind of, I don't know, do what healthy people do and see what it looks like against UTEP.
Yeah.
And just a few months away. Yeah. Just 4 months away, John. That's the countdown continues.
4 months away.
4 months ago, it was really cold.
This is what I deal with on a daily basis.
Yes, exactly. This is what you get to
this
deal with.
This is what I deal with on a daily basis.
I find it all interesting. That's the thing. I mean, it's been interesting to me personally because it's been a long time since I've been this interested. And
yeah, we forget you were counting down to spring football in January. You were like, man, I can't wait for spring football. You were the one person who was like, man, I can't wait for spring football.
No, I was handshake memeing it up too.
No, you weren't. Not like Sip.
Well, he was more excited, definitely. That's
true.
He
was very excited.
So on Monday then, Sip, are you going to be like, God, I can't wait for the UTEP game? You're going to be counting down to August 31st immediately.
Yeah, I am. I mean, it's going to be hard. It's going to be a long off season. Yep. But I am really, I mean, like a kid, I'm almost like a kid. I'm really looking forward to it. I do think they have a pretty good team over there. I don't think it's great. I don't think it's ready to challenge Oregon and Ohio State for the whole thing in the Big Ten, but I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, agreed.
Well, we'll find out in 4 months.
Indeed, we will.
But first, a spring game. To me, a spring game, you think of the appetizer to the main course.
Yeah.
The spring game is like you get a stalk of celery for an
appetizer. Oh, it's not that bad.
Oh, it's bad.
It's that bad?
I mean, it's that watered down. It's a lot of empty. I mean, there's no calories to it, but there's also no taste. There's nothing.
Wow. Sip, which appetizer would you compare the spring game to?
I'd say cheese and crackers.
That's a good one because it's like, I guess I'll eat it. But yeah. I don't get pumped. Who gets jazzed about cheese and crackers?
I love cheese and crackers.
But I'd rather have it than celery.
I'm going to go get some kipper snack with some saltines. I'm told to try that, and I'm going to do that.
Like kipper snacks? How old are you, Sip? My God.
Old.
I am 57. And
why don't you get sardines?
What's kipper snacks?
Sardines, essentially.
It's sardines.
Ew.
I still remember how awful that smelled when way back when he hasn't done it recently, but Dad would eat.
Yeah,
he would have sardines.
Gross.
It's just like
no, not
it was,
gross. I'm really looking forward to this. I'm looking forward.
Well, have I hope
are you
have,
looking more forward to the sardines and crackers or the spring game?
Good question.
Both. I have a good week ahead. This is a good week.
You know what you should do? And you can do this because I won't be there. I'll be here calling a baseball game.
Yeah.
You should bring the sardines to the press box.
Yes.
And open up that can and stink up that press box.
That'd be pretty funny. Yeah.
I think it's a good smell. I don't agree with you on the smell. I think it's good.
Oh, I think 99 out of 100 people in that press box would vote against you.
Yeah.
They'd wonder what it is.
Oh, yeah. They'd wonder, all right. They'd be like, what stinks? And for the first time, it won't be the product on the field.
Hey-o. Enjoy the game, Sip.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a good one now.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Mr. Steve Sipple.
Some responses.
Yeah.
Well, one response, rather, from my dear friend Aaron. He says, charcuterie is amazing. Big fan. Cheese and crackers aren't appreciated by this sad-ass state. Celery is loved by my pig. Okay. We weren't talking about charcuterie boards. We were talking about, like,
Lunchables?
Whack ass. Yeah. Basic. That's when he said cheese and crackers. That's what I thought.
No, I occasionally, if we have like some Ritz crackers and we have some shredded cheese, I'll get a paper plate and lay out some crackers, put a little shredded cheese on there and put it in the microwave for like 15 seconds.
Oh, but I don't get it like excited for it.
I get excited for cheese and crackers. I love cheese and crackers.
Nick, I know. We hear you every day talk about what's for dinner, and it's always like the saddest thing ever.
Well, we'll have more sad responses in What's for Dinner later.
You know what's not sad, though, John?
No.
The Field of Green sweepstakes. Do you know why it's not sad?
Because it's $5,000.
It's your chance, not yours. Your chance, though, to win $5,000 for all of your home improvement plans. You can enter to win right now at 1620thezone.com. What a deal, John. What a deal.
You can find out more and make sure you subscribe today at 1620thezone.com. Back after this.